Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of renewing the mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul told Christians that who had already undergone a tremendous transformation through being born again, that they needed a further transformation through renewing their mind. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind, he wrote. And we're making the point that to renew your mind means to change your perception of reality so that you begin to see things the way God sees them. To renew your mind means to bring your attitudes and your ideals or your viewpoint in line with God. Renewing the mind is not simply adding new information to what you already know. Renewing the mind involves a supernatural transformation of your view of reality so that you see things the way they truly are, the way they really are according to God, who has all knowledge, who knows everything. Reality is everything as God sees it. And in the preceding weeks, we've made the point that renewing of the mind is accomplished by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in us as we intelligently cooperate through reading the Bible and through praying in the Spirit. Our mind must be renewed so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. That's what Romans 12:2 says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Our minds must be renewed so we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. God's will is first and foremost that we become His sons and daughters through faith in Christ and then be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus is the pattern for God's family. To be conformed to His image means to be made like Jesus in character, power, holiness, and love. It means to be like Him in thought, word, and deed. You don't become Jesus. You're still you, but you're the you that you were always meant to be, a son or a daughter of God who is free from all the effects of sin in every part of your being, and you're fully glorifying to God in everything you do and say. Ephesians 1:12 says we've been appointed to live for the praise of His glory. That's your destiny, friend, to live for God's glory. That's the place you're going to find your greatest satisfaction. Now, what I want to focus on this week as we discuss this topic is talking about who and what we really are according to God. Our minds have to be renewed to our true identity. What is reality in regard to us? God made men to become His literal, actual sons and daughters by becoming partakers of His life, of His eternal, uncreated life. Eternal life does not refer to quantity or length of life. Every Christian knows that we get eternal life from God when we're born again, but many presume that eternal life means length of life. It means you're going to live forever, but that's not accurate. That's not what the Bible means when it refers to us receiving eternal life. You were going to live forever before you knew Jesus. You were simply going to live in hell. Eternal life isn't length of life. From the moment you have conception in the womb of a woman, you've got a little eternal being. You've got someone who's going to live forever. The question isn't how long they'll live. The question is, where will they live? Will they live with God forever in His home? Or will they live eternally separated from God in hell? So eternal life is not live forever life. we need a clear understanding of what eternal life is. Eternal life is the life in God Himself. When we make Jesus Lord of our lives and are born again, the very uncreated eternal life in God comes into us. Let's talk about that. Man has the capacity to receive God into his being, to receive the life of God, the Spirit of God into his being, and then to express both the character and power of God and thereby bring him glory. Now, God made Adam and the human race in Adam in his image. You know that. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." God made man in his image. Now, there's a lot we could say about what that means, but here's the point for our discussion. God made man as much like himself as a creature can be like his creator. He made us in his image so that we can receive his life into our being and then express that life in a way that brings glory to him. Now, God's intention when he made Adam was that Adam would receive his uncreated eternal life by voluntarily eating from the tree of life in the midst of the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2 verse 9 says, now this is God has made Adam and Eve. No one else has been born yet. There's been no sin yet. Genesis chapter 2 verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, most everybody's heard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to eat from that tree, and they did. But did you notice another tree is mentioned, the tree of life, which is in the midst of the Garden of Eden? The Bible opens with a reference to the tree of life. We're not going to turn over there, but if you turn to Revelation, the book of Revelation, the last chapter makes reference to the tree of life. Whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion is this. It was God's intention that Adam would receive his eternal uncreated life, the very life of God, into his being by voluntarily eating from the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Now, the life didn't come from the tree itself. Eating from that tree would have been an expression of submission to and dependence on God, which would have led to God's life coming into him. But instead, Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and united himself and the whole race in him with death. God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all. Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in doing so, expressed his choice to be independent from God, who is the source of all life, and he took himself and the whole race in him into death. He was united with death. Well, Jesus came to earth to abolish death and to bring life to men in fulfillment of God's plan. The ultimate purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was and is to give eternal life to men. The uncreated life of God, the uncreated life in God. See, that's God's plan, to create men and have them partake of his uncreated eternal life and become literal sons, not just his creation, but his sons and daughters by being partakers of his life, and then expressing his glory through them. That was his plan. But that plan was thwarted when the race in Adam went into sin and death. But Jesus came to undo that. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, unfortunately, that verse is most frequently preached to mean Jesus came to give us abundant life in this life, to give us the best life possible in this life. Now, I'm not knocking either of those things. I do believe that if you serve Jesus, your life will be better than it would have been had you not served him. I do believe he wants us to have the best life possible in the circumstances into which we were born, but that's not what that verse means. Jesus didn't die to give us a better life. He died to give us eternal life, the uncreated life in God himself. Let me read. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, speaking of Jesus, of the Father and what he did for us through Jesus, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Because of our sin, before we believed on Jesus, we were dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We lacked the uncreated eternal life of God. However, when a person believes on Jesus, he receives life from God. That's why conversion is referred to as new birth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. When you were born again, something came into you that was not in you before. The uncreated eternal life of God came into you, and it produced a tremendous transformation in your spirit, and it actually changed your identity from sinner to son. We'll pick it up here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.